You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
WERCY. Happy Friday, everybody. We made it.
KGADH Lud.
Did not catch your call sign. All I heard was HS. This is WERCY. Good morning. You sound like a new person on this frequency compared to all of us people that do the coffee driving in the morning. First person I'll hear is Donald. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, usually I'm the Detroit machine, but it hasn't been linked lately. Name here is Jerry.
Okay, your name sounds familiar, and now I may be linking it with the call sign. Do you usually commute in or come home from work about this hour of the morning?
Yeah, I'm working at 12 today. I'll get off at probably around 10:30. Depends on when the afternoon shift guy comes in. But anyway, yeah, I just want to get over here to the Fro building. Got my car in the charger, and I guess we got 9 o'clock. We got the Chinese fire drill. So everybody has to evacuate the building, so I'll be able to come out and see if my car is still plugged in or if somebody's stole my charging thing. And if that's the case, then I'll just plug my car back in again.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes one of the reasons why I'm afraid of getting an electric vehicle is I live in a senior center, and there has been discussions about putting in some kind of charging system. I don't know of anybody on the campus that has an electric vehicle, but I know it's been brought up in the event that if somebody does, what is the campus going to do about it? And one of the fears I've had is somebody's either going to try to damage the cable, the charging station, or whatever, and then what do you do if you have to jump in your car and go and you got no to get it charged, so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's so nuts, these scrappers. That's like 6 or 8 gauge wire that's in those, maybe 10. And, I guess you got 15 or 20 feet of wire. I don't know how much copper value that is. But, I've had the C-Max for quite a while. I came to this department in 2018, and, they've got free chargers that work, so I've been doing that. It saved me quite a bit on gas. I just got gas the other day, and I think the bill was like $18.
So you mentioned gas. Is your vehicle an all-electric vehicle, or is it like a hybrid with a little bit of both?
It's a plug-in hybrid. I get like 10-12 miles on the battery, and about 15 in the summer. In the winter, it's usually at 10-12 miles.
Okay, well, I appreciate you explaining that, because there's so many different combinations you can get now, and all that. And I'm still learning. I haven't been driving for a while because I've had a disability with my mobility, and I'm not allowed to really drive great distances, nor can I. But I'm looking at getting a vehicle in 2027 and looking at gas combination gas hybrid, all electric, what my options are. I am retired, I'm pushing 70, and I'm looking for something simple just to get, you know, around my campus, because I have everything I need kind of like within walking distance of my campus, but at the same time, with my mobility issues, I am capable of walking, but it's very exhausting, and sometimes at the end it can be a little bit debilitating and painful. So I have to, I'm looking at options, and that's why I'm asking the questions I am.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's like I said, it's a plug-in hybrid, so works out for me. Yeah, some of those, I guess if they get chargers, I think my coworker there, he's got an electric Lightning, and he says he gets around 300 miles out of it, so that's good for around town and stuff. He doesn't live too far from work. I think he lives like 15 miles. I'm got a 20-mile round trip, so like 40 miles a day to work.
Well, I currently, like I said, I'm in a, where I live, I have everything within walking distance, but for to do things like grocery shopping and something like that, it would be just a simple little, you know, boat or vehicle, and maybe where an all-electric can work out for me there. Further, I try on a regular basis is, Baltimore, and that's about a 25-mile commute, a little more than that, but each way, and so I got that would be my longest distance I would travel, but other than that, everything's within a couple, you know, a mile, a full square mile of my center point. If I can go in like a mile in any direction and get anything and everything I want, got warehouse stores like Lowe's and Home Depot, got all the fast food restaurants, you name it, I got them, got a Starbucks, got to have a Starbucks, plus a few other coffee houses, and you know, that's all very close. So just a little go-getter vehicle. I mean, if they, it's funny because I know people in New Baltimore, in some suburbs, in some areas, you're allowed to have a golf cart, and you can drive a golf cart through downtown New Baltimore if you have it properly registered with the city. That would be perfect if I could have that, but no, I'm in two different cities and two different counties. I'm separated by a county and a city line, so I'd have to deal with the gallons of that on both sides. Same thing with this stuff now with e-bikes.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we can use golf carts out where I live somewhat. There's no, but you got to have one like one of the triangle things in the back, slow-moving vehicle. What was I going to say? Yeah, and I'm here in Dearborn at work, and I guess they want to ban e-bikes. I guess they're a little too peppy.
Well, in this past, you know, year, you know, summer months, we've had a few fatalities from them, and so everybody's, you know, kind of like checking and rechecking their own, you know, city and municipality ordinances, which I could understand. But like I say, I live on the border between, I'm in Madison Heights, Warren is right across DeQuinder Road. DeQuinder Road is a city border crossing and a county border crossing between Macomb and Oakland. So there's a lot of things I would have to look into and deal with. But I am looking at an e-bike. A friend of mine just got one, and I'm kind of looking at the same one he's got. And I don't know if I'll, I mean, if I make the investment, it'll be after the first of the year. But it would help with my mobility and getting around. I mean, I can still pedal a bike. I guess if we have exercise machines here where I live on my senior campus. So I pedal those bikes, but I'm just more concerned about balancing issues and stuff like that. So I'm weighing a lot of getting input from anybody and everybody I can, including you, about options, about things like, I say, hybrid vehicles, all-electric vehicles, and whatnot. And I appreciate it.
Okay, KG88 said, yeah, I got a scooter. I still got it in the back of my C-Max here. I used to park, because I had to park park in the north charging lot to, and then I would use the scooter to go to the dock where I could get into work. But they're taking the wrecking ball to Ford Credit, I guess next year, and then I think the following year they're doing in the glass house. And they've already got their construction fence around the building. I was really kind of ticked off about that. We've already had a couple break-ins of some potential scrappers. My coworker was he's on vacation, and the afternoon guy like stayed over, and he noticed that the chilled water temps were going up, and then he looked and he seen that one of the chillers was off, and so he went out to the chiller room, which is next to the boiler room where I work, and there's a couple scrappers who were in there. They had already shut off the disconnect panel to it, and I was hoping if they put their hands in there, because it's 480, we would dispatch somebody if they're doing doing the wrong kind of thing.
For about 5 or 6 years, I had a small grocery store in the area of Greenfield and Rotunda, in the neighborhood of Ford's headquarters and properties and everything else. And it's sad that they've taken down, or they're going to take down Glass House. Remember those areas very well, and I know they built a whole new headquarters and everything else, and I've yet to be out that way to see it. I don't get out that way, nor do I get downriver yet, like in relationship to the Gordie Howe Bridge and where it's located and compared to where your offices are and Glass House were. But my little market there, I met a lot of people who used to work for Ford's in the corporate side when I had my market, and a lot of great people had come through doors, and I had a great business there, but it only lasted 5 years because my business partner had an unexpected heart attack and died in the store, and some of my customers, while I was off that evening, found him and couldn't find a relative business partner to help continue the business, so I closed it. But yeah, great memories of the city of Dearborn and Ford.
Okay, what were you on, Greenfield Road?
The store was located on the, what I would guess to be, because it's at a funny angle, because Rotunda runs at an angle. They don't run due north, due south, due east, due west. So I would say it would be on the northwest corner. There was like a small strip mall. Uncle Sam's Village Cafe, which I think was a Lebanese restaurant, was there. Pioneer Engineering was a small engineering outfitter there that did design work. I don't remember if they were attached to Ford or not, but this is long before things like the Lions Train. This was in the late 80s. I would say from 88 to 93 I was there.
Okay, I think over there, as it's the same one, they got, there's a restaurant, and then there's like a 7-Eleven. Is that the same location? Because that one's on, like, on Greenfield Road.
The restaurant there is kind of like a Coney Island-type restaurant, a breakfast place. That's where my grocery store used to be, and it was known as Gourmet Market. Before that, when I bought it from the previous owner, it was Ozzy's Market. And then at the very end, where I think the 7-Eleven is now, it used to be an ice cream shop. But right next door to my restaurant was Uncle Sam's Village Cafe, and then there's like a little open concourse in between those two buildings that like you can sit out there, and they didn't have like seating for meals. It was just like a little park, because outdoor seating for food wasn't a thing back in at that time. But yeah, you're right there. The storefront did face Greenfield.
Okay, yeah, that used to be my neighbor a couple doors down when I lived in West Dearborn. Ozzy. I worked for him in the mid-70s while I was in high school.
Wow, funny. I actually bought the store from Ozzy, myself and my business partner. We bought it from Ozzy when he retired and changed the name from Ozzy's to Gourmet Market. And like I said, we were there for 5 years. And unfortunately, like I said, my partner passed. But small world. And there used to be where 7-Eleven would be on the end cap there alongside Rotunda. It used to be an ice cream shop. It was called Tom's Creamery or something like that. It wasn't like an ice cream shop or Baskin Robbins or anything like that, but we'd sneak over there and grab an ice cream once in a while. And then Uncle Sam's, which was right next door to the Ozzy's, again, I think it was a Mediterranean Lebanese restaurant. I remember they used to have, I didn't frequent it much. I went over there a couple times because I usually didn't work till close on Friday nights. They had the belly dancers in there, and yeah, there were some wild moments in there, that's for sure, during my time there. Again, 88 through 93.
Okay, KT887. Yeah, I worked there in the mid-70s. I went back there when I got married in 84. We went back there to buy some food or whatever. But so it must have been 4 years later that he sold it, 88.
W-8-R-C-Y. I worked with Ozzy Fur and his wife and family for about a full year before we took it over, just so the customers would be comfortable with the changeover. And I worked with him in the meat department because I was an old Farmer Jack's meat cutter looking to start my own business kind of a thing. So I worked with him side by side in the meat department for a year before we took it over and he left. It was kind of a transition kind of a deal that we worked out. Ozzy was a great guy to me. He was a little strict, but I understood because, you know, he was putting his legacy in my business partner's hands when he retired, and he made sure the customers were comfortable with me, that I was going to take good care of them. He trusted me that I would take care of his good customer, you know, his customer base, and yeah, we had a good thing going, and I don't know if I'd still have it to this day because I'm now 70 and I'm retired, but it was a great little market that we had for sure.
Yeah, he was great to work for. Taught me a lot about doing things in, you know, in order, going about problems in orderly fashion and stuff. So, yeah, I picked up that from him.
I think that's one of the reasons why he likes me, because I do things, you know, in an orderly fashion, you know, in a specific way. We both paid attention to detail. Nothing went in that meat counter that you wouldn't take home to your own family, you know. We were kind of, well, my father was also in the meat business, and he was a little bit younger than my dad by about 2 or 3 years and at that time. But, again, cut from the same mold. I learned a lot from my father. I learned a lot from him. And in an industry like that where you're in the service industry, food industry, you learn, you know, what to do and what not to do. And like I said, he even mentioned the comment that my father used to say, don't put anything in that counter you wouldn't take home to your own family. And I said to him, did you know my father? Because he says the same thing. And he said, well, it's true. And I said, yeah, you know, don't put a steak, a pork chop, or anything in a counter like this. These service counters where they're glass enclosed and you take care of the customers personally one-on-one that you would not take home to your family. Take some pride in your work. So Ozzy did bestow a lot into me, just like my father did when he was in the business.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, that's what I got out of him. He was wanted me to do things systematically, so yeah, he was good about that. And I carried that on through my career or every job I approach here at Florida, I do that. Well, I got to get in there. Start at 7, and it's 7, so... but I only got a few more hours, and tomorrow I only got an 8-hour shift. So glad this week is a little short after last week working 12, going in at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 earlies all week. I just get burned out, but vacation's coming up soon. Next month that we got Pam Camp. We're going to be at Bishop Lake, I think, and stay in there for 6 or 7 days. Anyway, 7-3, have a good morning, and talk to you later, KG8HX.
Absolutely, and thank you for the reminiscing of that Dearborn Greenfield Rotunda area for sure. You have a great day. Be careful, be safe in what you do, and we'll catch up with you down the road. W8RCY.
Oh, I hate running late.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
That's why I've been tying up the airways all morning. Well, you deserve one of those once in a while. You know, you do get a mulligan. Oops, sorry about that. You definitely deserve a mulligan. I was talking to Nick from down in Dearborn this morning, and so it's just him and me, basically.
I wonder what repeater he was using. TJ's is out, as far as I know, and Phil's is compromised. Wonder which one he was working from Dearborn.
Well, I was initially on my node, and so I couldn't tell he was coming in clear either way. But we had a good 20-minute conversation. We found out that he used to work in a grocery, old small family-owned grocery store that I bought with a business partner called Gourmet. It was actually called Ozzy's Market, and my business partner and I bought it, and we changed it to Gourmet Market. In the shadow of Ford's headquarters over there in Dearborn, on the corner of Greenfield and Rotunda. I bought the store in 89, and he worked at that grocery store in the 70s. Crazy how small this world is.
Now, there you go. Cool fun fact. Yeah, anyhow, I watched the kids last night. They didn't get home until very, very late. So I didn't get to bed till almost 2 o'clock. But still doesn't explain how I slept through my alarm clock. I mean, I know I didn't get a lot of sleep, and I was tired, and it was late, but it was kind of confusing when I looked at the clock, and I had blown through my alarm clock 45 minutes ago. I'm like, what the heck? Anyhow, so you owned a grocery store. How long did that... How long did you do that? I don't know that I could do that. It'd probably be worse if it were a restaurant, just because there's a certain amount of goods that you have to write off, you know, because it spoils, you know, produce and things like that. That would drive me insane.
I worked at the store when Ozzy had it for a year, so that was like a transition thing. Because him and his wife and family were retiring, and I was like in my late 20s, and I had a partner who was in their upper 30s, and I was there from 88 to 93, and I ran it during my divorce and everything else. And then in 93, my partner had a massive heart attack at the store, and I was home in Chesterfield, yeah, he died. I was off that evening, and I had to go back, close up the place, and tried to find a partner to help me continue on, and I ran it for about a year after that. So, and then I finally I had to give it up because I couldn't find a trustworthy, reliable partner to continue on. It was in the corner of Greenfield and Rotunda, small little strip mall. We had a restaurant next door called Uncle Sam's Village Cafe. It was a Lebanese place, and they had belly dancing on Friday night. Nice little ice cream shop on the end cap. Well, the ice cream shop now is gone, and there's like a small 7-Eleven there. But yeah, we had a nice little reminiscing talk.
Yeah, so my question is, how do you put up with the loss, you know, the stuff that spoils? You have to get rid of it. How do you mentally put up with that?
Well, I kind of ran the meat department and some of the lunch meats because lunch meats fall under the category of the deli, and the deli falls under the category of dairy. So I ran the meat and deli section. But produce you lose a lot. So it's basically, even in the meat department or dairy, you just got to watch, how you're buying. I mean, I was having deliveries 3 times a week just for the meat department. And we had a forced dryer cooler with swinging cattle in it. We didn't have box meat like everything is now. We still had the old-fashioned way of doing it. So it's just a matter of, how you order, and you order enough for what you need for the next 2-3 days. Now, the opposite side, when you lose power or the refrigeration cuts out, your compressors go down, those are breakdowns where they're kind of like out of your control, and you do have to write off a lot, and you lose a lot. But, when you own your own business, you just got to make sure, things work. And it was an old it was an old store. I mean, like I said, the cooler was forced dried air, and you don't find those anywhere anymore. Those are pretty much long gone. Maybe one or two old stores, like in the Grosse Pointe area, Village Market, Cadieux and Mac area, might have still a forced air dried air cooler. But, there wasn't really a lot if you knew how to order. There was very little loss.
I suppose that's the trick, is getting used to what this small acceptable amount is. Just looking at it as the cost of business. But it would drive me insane. I can't deal with that. I just thought in a situation like that where you all the time, you got to be pulling stuff and pitching it. Oh, that would drive me up the wall. Oh, well. That's a restaurant would be even worse. This is prepared. There's a lot of end of every day restaurants got stuff that's got to probably heave-ho. You got to try to guess what the how many people you're going to have. I guess averages work out. You can figure out kind of on average what you're going to have, but the restaurant business is probably even worse as far as spoilage.
There are similarities between owning a market and restaurants, but there's also those slight differences. And like I say, it's all on how you prepare and how you order. When I was working for companies like Farmer Jack's, yeah, you were having deliveries 3-4 days a week of stuff. And when you own a small market, you don't carry that much, but you want things to stay fresh. I mean, I would get 6 whole cows in every other day at Farmer Jack's. And in my market, I'd only buy maybe a whole cow for a whole week to 10 days. And, fill my counter with all these cuts of meat. And how they were, styled and everything else, because short loins are used for porterhouse, T-bones, strips, and fillets. So you can order portion cuts versus a whole side just to get what you need. Chickens, we only carried, when you have a market, you carry ice-packed chickens. They come in a 60-pound box of ice, and they're fresh, whole chickens. And you've got probably... from the time you unpack them and keep them in the cooler, and once they're out of ice, you don't keep them in the ice. You keep them in just chilled coolers and counters. They have about a 3-to-5-day shelf life, and you might have some spoilage there. But like I say, it just depends on how you order them and how you market them. you order whole chickens and you cut up your own legs, breasts, wings, instead of buying boxes of wings, boxes of drumsticks, and boxes of thighs and things like that, because that's where you lose it. And this way, for the whole chicken, you sell some whole and you sell some parted. I'm getting long-winded here, sorry.
So you could butcher a cow. There you go. I could bring you a cow and say, give me some T-bones, and you'd say, okay. You rub your knives together and that making that noise. Get to work with your apron.
In the bottom drawer of my stove, in my little tiny cubby hole of an apartment, I have pretty much all my knives except for one or two in there. I've got blades that are like 12, 14 inches, and I've got a couple of blades that are a little, just about a tick under 2 feet. I think they're 22 inches, but they won't fit in the drawers that are in my storage unit. But yeah, I still have my arsenal, and I still have my steels that make that noise, and I got my my meat hook. It looks like a claw. It looks like a Captain Hook meat hook that I would use to hold sides of beef. And, you know, I mean, I'm right out of the Rocky movie, where you see Rocky in the original Rocky films working in meat factories in Philly like that and hanging around with sides of beef, quarter beef. Yeah, I can pretty much go from a whole cow all the way down to full merchandising to this day. It's a skill I still have. I don't do it anymore. I mean, I've been out of it for, let's see, I started in 74 right out of high school, and I did it till I was about, oh, in my early, about 40, yeah. So I could say I had maybe 22, 23 years in the industry overall.
So have you ever processed someone's deer?
Yeah, I did that for quite a few years. I, you know, help out in small markets and local markets, and I still get phone calls every year, and a lot of people don't have my number anymore, but when I was over there in the Macomb County side, along the St. Clair Shores, Harrison Township, Chesterfield Township corridor there, between Gratiot and Jefferson, I would say, there's a lot of markets that I worked with or worked for, and I would help out if they needed. I didn't have to call them. They knew. They kind of knew me, and they'd actually call me for help. But learned a lot of things. One thing I learned, and this is very, very odd, my father was still alive when I learned it. Skin a deer using an air compressor. Never saw that happen. And there was a little meat market across the street from Luigi's there on Jefferson, the pizza place at Jefferson and north of Crocker. He used to be right next door to Luigi's, but he built the store across the street. I think the store is still there, but I think he's passed away. He was a little Arab guy that taught me how to skin a deer using an air compressor.
Yeah, I can visualize that. I don't know if I've ever seen it done, although I haven't seen a lot of deer process. I've dropped some off and picked up the finished product, but I've only participated in a couple where I was actually at that stage, and it was always just a yank and rip kind of a thing.
Basically insert air between the skin and the actual carcass, and it blows up like a bladder out of a football or a basketball. And then you just start at the opposite end and just peel it right off with a skinning knife. It just separates the that skin or layer coat, whatever it is, underneath the actual coat and the carcass itself. And it just made it so much easier. I couldn't believe it. I actually showed it to my dad before he passed. He just kind of chuckled. He says, and I thought I've seen everything. And then he says, and this is why I've always told you, you never stop learning in this business. Somebody's always going to show you something new. And I've actually taught people how to do it. But I quit doing it when the tuberculosis scare happened in deer. I said, no, I'm not processing anymore. And then I would see deer come in hit with, you know, just, you get the, sometimes you get the carcasses that were hit by cars and they got tagged and released, and they say, and, you know, get what you can out of it. And I look at it, and I'll say, it's not even worth me trying to get much out of it. I can get you some venison or some, you know, ground meat, but that's what you want, that's what I'll get for you. But the tuberculosis issue is part of the reason why I got out of it.
So the cows probably never come, they're probably skinned before you get the sides, I would guess. So with the leather processing.
Yeah, we would just get them, you know, skinned, and if you go downtown, you'll see full hanging carcasses, uncut. When you work for a place like Farmer Jack's, Kroger's, or any of these other stores, they usually come in quartered. Shoulder rib cage is one quarter. Hind quarter is the second half of the spine, and back through the butt and down through the back leg. When you see a hind quarter hang, it's hanging basically upside down, and starts at the back hoof and hangs down to where your T-bone separates from your T-bone separates from the first of the three ribs, where you get things like standing rib roasts and that kind of stuff.
Next to a pickup truck right now that's got a whole bunch of watermelons in the bed. Kind of weird looking.
Maybe somebody's having a big, holiday weekend thing planned. Not a holiday thing, but maybe like a church gathering or picnic, company picnic kind of a thing. I don't know, but a whole pickup truck full, that's going to be one heck of a outdoor event for sure.
Well, if that's what it is, it's going to be one hell of a party. He must have, I can't even tell you how many he's got in there. Just a pickup truck that's loaded with watermelons. Anyhow, kids went down to Eastern Market last night, and it was more to socialize. Well, it was all to socialize. They went down there and I don't know why they picked that, but they went to Vivio's down there, and then after that they went to their friend's brewery. And all in all, it was a good night for them. I stayed out late, watched the kids. So I'm glad they went and had a good time. They met up with one of my daughter's old friends, who's a tenured professor out in Colorado somewhere. And considering the adolescence this kid had and growing up, the situation, he's really amazed us all.
Sorry, my Madison Heights connection on my scanner over here was a little loud. I had to wait for that to clear out. Didn't know it was that loud. Those kind of connections and gatherings and get-togethers are usually the best kind to have. And, talking about other locales and reminiscing and things, yeah, those are good to have every once in a while for sure. And the Eastern Market for me, yeah, Vivio's, one of my favorite places to go to breakfast on the weekends after I got out of the meat business. My sister's deceased ex-husband used to run the Wolverine lamb and veal plant, and that was a slaughterhouse there. And I still go back and see some of the people because we were all connected somehow in the industry. People who knew my dad, my brother-in-law, myself. There's a guy that used to work here in Kroger's across the street. I think he finally retired maybe within the last couple of months, that worked in the meat department here, that knew my father, worked with my ex-brother-in-law, myself, and everything like that here at Farmer Jack's, up and down the DeQuinder corridor from 6 Mile, 8 Mile, the 12 Mile store by us, and the one up at right around Big Beaver 16 mile road there was one, so there was like four or five Farmer Jacks in this corridor that I used to work as well.
Oh, here we go. I'm going to blow past my coffee stop. Have to put that on the agenda for later in the later this morning. Gas is under $4 at Meijer's, $3.99, so don't like it when it's four something. So even a penny gives you that psychological, it's in the threes.
Granted, we pay for gas today with credit cards and things like that, and you know, other these electronic things, so you don't have to worry about actually paying with cash anymore, but you know, you say with pennies and, you know, 3.99. What are they going to do once pennies are completely abolished under Trump's new policies there of abolishing pennies? I may not live to see it. I mean, I've only got a jar of about maybe 25 pennies in it, and I actually recently donated to the bingo ladies down here in the activity center. I said, I got these, and I don't use them here, use them for bingo or whatever. But, yeah. Wonder what's going to happen when you can't charge 99 cents for gas anymore per dollar. Everything's going to have to be changed or rounded up or rounded down to, you know, 95.
Well, in a situation like gas, you know, that's just a, you know, price per gallon. You know, the person at the pump will determine whether you... I don't know, will it start rolling in fives and in nickels so the person can't stop between, I suppose virtually the penny will still exist. It just won't exist in cash form. Hard to say, but in a situation where you're pumping, you just won't be allowed to pump something between the fives.
And by the time it truly does happen and pennies are completely phased out, I probably won't be here, so it won't matter. But, you know, when the whole thing was proposed a year ago or so that, you know, pennies will no longer be minted and it's things like that, and it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, what are we going to do? And but like I said, if you think about it, you're paying everything with plastic now anyways. You know, you stick your card at the pump or, you know, tap and go with these chips now and everything else and so on and so forth. You know, your coffee at Starbucks, $4.19, what are you going to do, carry a pocket full of pennies so you don't have to worry about change, or they give you pennies back? You know, if you give them two dimes or a quarter and you got, you know, 6 cents in your pocket, it's like, what am I going to do with these pennies and nickels? So, yeah, I don't know, but like I said, that's long down the road and I probably won't be here when it happens.
All right, I just pulled up in the parking lot. I got to jump. I will talk to you in a bit. W8RCY, W8FU.
Okay, well, I'll be around listening and monitoring or whatever, scanning, and congratulations to Wyatt, our amateur radio kid. We now must salute him. He is a general. Woo-hoo!
Connected to CMN Network.
Oh, now you tell us we're connected. W8RCY.
WAZD Mobile. NHWRO Mobile. What's up? It says my tailgate has got a jar in it. Just a second, let me go see what the jar is. Yeah, that's the old security joke. When is a door not a door? When it's a jar.
To CMN Network.
Got you in there, Tom. A little scratchy.
least I wasn't on the Warren repeater.
That's better. The jar is gone. Hey, Wally, I got my workmate with a table adapter that I put on it, but you want to use your tailgate to work on? However you want it, we got options. I believe the only thing we have to do is put a couple labels on the cans so we don't confuse them. Sean and I got a little confused yesterday about which one was what because one of them was identified wrong. It's right, but I do believe we got everything the way it needs to be. Pretty much all we have to do is change parts. Change the cans, get those shelves out of there, and change the power strip. And then I think we're in good shape. And so I'm reasonably sure we're not going to need any workbenches and stuff like that because we're just going to change out parts today.
Alrighty, copy that. I'm not sure if you need it, but I brought the rig expert too.
Now we're, but thank you. But like I said, I spent so much time on this week on these repeaters. You know, Tom has to go to lunch or breakfast. I can't. If I don't spend at least a couple hours working this week, he's going to get mad. He'd probably be grateful. So I got so much time into these things, but they're done. They're perfect, and we should be from there. Sean, you around? Let's give it a break and real quick and see if you step it in. WAVD. Guess not. I brought my two amateur radios. I forgot to bring my 800. So either way, we'll get this thing up and going here quick. And like I said, I think this should fix everything. So we did check it yesterday. I don't know if Tom told you, but put your seatbelt on. I stopped the band. Hold on. There's no way four cams was going to do what we needed it to do. So, as a matter of fact, it performed so poorly that we're surprised it even works.
Yeah, that was interesting. You were talking about that. I'll see it when I get there, but I'm just curious what you use for jumper cables, this super flex stuff or whatever it is between the cans, but I'll check it out when we get there. En route, NAWRO.
We just used the regular 214 stuff that was in the other ones. So it checked out okay. You know, I mean, I'll do another set of cans as a backup, and then we'll go from there, and then I'll start working on or a repeater for the remote, you know, for us, for remote. I have to see if I can get it down into the amateur bands. This is a 150 to 180 repeater. It says it can be done. 30 watts would be more than enough. And then we'll see what we can do about getting that. That'll be the next project. So then we have a remote repeater. And then I think on that, because it's VHF, we're just going to use two antennas. Maybe on the creeper van or something.
The creeper van?
Go ahead.
Okay. Consider me going. W8FU, good morning.
Good morning. Are you on your way up north for a site visit?
I am. Question is, do I need to get... Man, do I need to get breakfast now?
Yeah, Tom's going to go. If this goes really fast, I might be able to squeeze it in. But, you know, I got a good reason for you to be up here professionally anyways. You need to look at this antenna because this first test is getting, like, a lot bigger.
Had a coughing spell. I've been doing a lot of that the last couple of days. I'm going to have to probably go get that looked at. But what is my role?
Your role is to help us get this going, but your professional role is, as long as you're up here on Washington Street and I-94, you should look at your tower here That bird's nest has gotten double in size.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm aware of that, but we can't do anything about it until October. And I have the wrecking crew coming in to take it out in October.
Yeah, I'm surprised it still works. It's so big. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't chew up the wires or anything else like that, but maybe they're pretty thick or significant, but whatever. I just figured I'd let you know. I watch it every day, and it gets bigger every day, so this team of birdies is pretty resourceful. Go ahead, Tim. Where am I? 26 and, what is this, 29 Washington Street? I don't know what this road is called over here, but sign says New Haven Village 1. I'm fairly close. What do they call this road? 19. I'm at 19 and 26.
Oh, you're on Washington Street or New Haven Road. Yeah, I'm just getting to Richmond, GGT Joe.
Oh, joy. Tom, you in there still?
Yeah, I just stepped on you. Go ahead. No, I said I'm just pulling. I'm right here in Richmond, so I'll be there shortly. KCK Joe, go ahead, Tim, to step on you.
All right, southbound Gratiot by High Society Pot Shop, behind a trash truck. Oh, joy. Go ahead, Sean. So my question was, is there breakfast involved in any of this, or is this pretty much just do the job and get out of Dodge? It just makes a difference in my next stop.
I'm planning on breakfast with Melissa, and you are more than welcome to join us along with Tim. Wally's got to get to the office, so yeah, breakfast is going to be after this.
Yeah, I'd be in for breakfast after.
I'm here. I'll be back. WBD.
Okay, so I assume the Village Grill or whatever the hell the name of it is there. Main Street Cafe, whatever, I can't remember the name. The place we normally go. Yes, sir. That is the usual spot there, right by the tower. Okay, well, I am sitting in traffic, just stopped, isn't moving yet. Coming up to Gratiot on 59 here, so I have no idea what this is all about. Be there when I get there. Don't wait for me. Understood. Yeah, I'll be making the turn over there now. See the tower in sight. N8WRO. We'll be clear. Man, this is frustrating. Move three car lengths, stuck by the red light. Move three car lengths, stuck by the red light. It's frustrating as hell.
KE8RUH?
I don't know. Are you?
What's going on? What are you doing out this morning?
I am going up to New Haven to meet the boys. They're working on the Wally-matic. And, that's about it. Something going on 994. Boy, if you're coming westbound on 94 from north of 59, don't.
Noted. I will not be heading that way. I'm headed to, like, Harper and 13 right now.
I'm heading to New Haven and Gratiot.
Going on morning,
Anthony.
Somewhere between 59 and there, but on the westbound side, so should be okay. By the way, I went to Chris Bellies. Is that it? Yesterday, finally got that one off my bucket list.
Yes, that is a good one. We enjoy going there. One of my favorite spots, though, and I think we talked about this, is Salvatore Scalapini, and that's like right across the street-ish, so that's where we like to go. And Tom, how you doing this morning? I heard you, and we'll throw it over to you. Just so you know, you are a little loud. You're much louder than Sean, so I don't know. Maybe Sean can tell you if you and I are the same, but I'll throw it over to you. Good morning.
Good morning. Probably because I'm on my Elinco. So how is this? It's a little bit better. I'm used to talking on my Motorolas.
Well, it's you and Anthony are the same. I could have been far talking my microphone. Am I any better if I brought it up at all, Anthony?
Yep, you're closer in volume now that you brought it up. Back over to you, Sean.
Okay, I could have just been, long-arming it, as we say. It's close talking and long-arming. That's how we always used to say it. But I'm heading eastbound 94 here, just north of 21. And it looks like that's where it starts to bottle up. So if you've got to come anywhere from, you get off at 21 or else pay the price. Looks, it's pretty bad. So, but I'm finally on the road for the destination. Tom, are you there?
Not yet. I'm probably about 2 minutes out.
You know, this may be a silly question, and showing my ignorance to all of this, but that Wally machine, I can hit that with a hotspot, right? Just hit the talk group that they use, and I think if I'm thinking correctly, all DMR repeaters are connected to the internet, right?
Well, not necessarily, but in practice, that seems to be the way it is. With the exception, of course, being like the MI5 network. Well, yeah, they have a way in, but they're not, not too brandmeister normally. So, it's complicated. But for the most part, yeah, most DMR machines are usually networked.
All right, cool. Yeah, I just was thinking through that because at this point, a lot of my DMR equipment is UHF only. So if I can get into it with a hotspot, I will have to try getting into it with that mode.
Roger. Well, yeah, I'm still mad at Wally for putting up a UHF or a VHF DMR machine. So, I'll have to get over it. Tom?
I am here. Ooh, hold on. I got to move. I got to get a different space. Somebody doesn't know how to park here. KKK, I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, Sean, I can appreciate the frustration because I have it also, but I can also appreciate the putting something different up. So it's 50-50.
Well, I guess it's like me putting up a UHF P25 machine. So now the guys that all have UHF P25 are rolling their eyes going, really?
Yep, same thing. You get into the higher-end equipment, and it's mono-banded, and it certainly can create some frustration.
All right, I got to drive by my tower site up here. Paulie tells me that my little birds are very busy little bees. I got to take a look at this.
All right, I'll be in the car for a few more minutes. Standing by, KE8RUH.
Well, I couldn't see anything from the highway, just the tower and the perturbances, but I'm going to have to circle around here and get a look at it from the other angle. I've got my team doing their thing. They got babies, so they're nesting and they got babies.
I was not able to do it but every fifth word. So I don't know if you're on Mount Clemens, you're on Warren, where you're at, but I wasn't able to get a whole lot of that.
Am I any better here on Richmond?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I just, okay, I see it. I've got to pull back here by my tower to take a look at this seahawk nest, and I can see it pretty clearly. It's a big boy. That's what Paulie was telling me. So I'm going to have to get that thing cleaned out. I got to wait till October, though. We are off limits until the birds, until the chicks take wing.
I would imagine you'll have PETA knocking down your door if you don't wait for that.
Yeah, do a ChatGPT say, what are the penalties for interfering with a endangered protected species? You look at those numbers and you'll say, oh, it's more than worrying about PETA. But, yeah, we're off limits from this tower. I got to stop here and I'm gonna pull over here to see if I see any actual birds flying in and out.
Connected to CMN Network.
Boy, you could end up there all day waiting for those birds.
I'll give it a few. See if they come back in. But like Wally said, the nest looks like it's growing in size. I've got three microwave dishes near the top of the tower, and they've built a real fancy little nest, like kind of in the center of the tower, protected by all three of those dishes. Man, they built some big nests. They got branches up there.
Those nests always amaze me. But hey, I'm pulling up to my first stop here, so I'll be back on the radio in a little while, but you guys may be busy by then. So I'll catch up with you maybe this afternoon. I got to get out to a customer site at around, I'll probably leave my house around 12:45. So if you're on the radio, I'll catch up with you then. Otherwise, have a great weekend. KE8RUH.
God darn it, this is a dump, a city dump, and there's a big old truck right out my butt trying to get me out of the way, so I gotta move. All right, we'll catch you in a bit then. W8FQ.
You're connected to CMN Network. Current currently connected to CMN Network.
This is KF8FJH, looking forward, QSO, over.
Connected to CMN Network.
I have said I have a question 6 times. Apparently, there's no room for anybody else.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W8RKB. W8RJD, here is W8RAT returning. Good afternoon to you. How are you, sir? Name here is Dave.
Hey, Dave. Not doing too bad. It's a sunny Friday afternoon, so I'll tell you, well, almost Friday afternoon, so there's nothing wrong with that. Just got done with court, heading back home. Name here is Ryan, Romeo Yankee Alpha November.
Okay, yeah, Ryan, fully agreed, yes. As my boss might put it, it's Friday. So, yep, almost the weekend here. Do I have any plans for mine? Maybe just play some radio, and I got, you know, tons of little radio projects to do, antenna projects and otherwise, and so I may have spent taking a couple of them off the list here. They say I've got to get, like, a dipole up in the air and, you know, some things like that, but I've got a couple other tasks I want to do in the meantime. I want to see about, I'm running my coax cables into a window, and I'm probably going to just probably do it, well, kind of temporarily. What I want to do is put a 2x4 in there, use a paddle bit to drill a hole as I'm merging out of the freeway here. You use a paddle bit to drill a hole and then put a barrel connector through so I can just screw on the outside of the coax, the outside of the house, and then a short jumper on the inside. Anyways, get some antennas up in the air at the homestead, and I drastically need that. That's for certain here. Well, hopefully your experience this morning was a positive one here with court. At least you're going home. I'm thinking that's good news.
Oh, yeah, I'm a lawyer, so the old adage goes, your client goes to jail, you go to lunch. So it's always a good day for the lawyers, so it always works out for me. But yeah, I've got a junction box on my, that I put outside. So I've got a pass through where all my coax goes, and then I've got like a junction box on the house where all my coax connectors are, and I can screw in, screw out, because my wife makes me, she doesn't like to have all the antennas out, so I have to take my antennas up and down. So I've got, like, depending on what I put up, sometimes I'll put up a vertical using a whip. Sometimes I'll put up, like, a dipole. Sometimes I'll put up, I've got, like, little push-up mats and stuff like that I use. But I've got it, whatever I put up, I got to take down. So usually I'm putting up the end-fed half-wave so that I can get, like, you know, 40, 20, 10, 15, stuff like that. Back to you.
Okay, that's good as long as it's nothing complicated, you know, starting off with maybe, you know, taking up and down a step IR Yagi or something like that. But other than that, yeah, a lot of it's probably relatively easy as far as that goes. Do a tree-mounted dipole or something. All you got to do is just raise the string up and down as you'd like. I was almost going to make a suggestion to Club for their field day activities. Maybe if they were ever in the option, maybe try it out for being able to change maybe like a loop antenna, for example. So that way you can have the loop antenna, you know, relatively high in terms of wavelength. And then maybe if you want, depending on how
bucks. Maybe you could lower it down and then make it more to a cloud warmer, an NVIF antenna and such. Well, let me ask you this, Ryan. How many, how much coax do you have coming into your house? Because I'm assuming, like a NEMA electrical box on the outside? A cover so that way you can bring it on in and then clamp it off from the outside? So I'm just kind of curious, how much coax do you have coming into your house?
So I've got two runs of RG8X going into the house from, and it's probably about, 20 feet between, actually it's less than that, I'm sure, I think it's like 15 feet between my shack and the, going out the wall. It's basically, it's all in the basement. My shack is in the basement, so the coax just runs into the house and then down the basement wall. There's two runs of coax in there, and in the junction box, I've got, two PL259, connectors that both have lightning arresters on them, and then that goes down to a, ground rod, just in case for lightning, and then, not terribly necessary, seeing as I take the antennas up and down, when I'm using them, but, so a lot of what I'm using, so then I only will run, maybe 20, 30 feet of coax between my antenna and the, sometimes 50 if I'm putting up something up real high, but that's about it. That fit between 50, 25, 15 outside of the shack, and so plus the 15 that kind of runs down into the shack from the junction box. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it sure does. It sounds like you did a proper job there for that installation for getting the coax in. Unlike the hinky way that I'm doing it, it would work, but, yeah, yours is probably much better and, more professional looking and all that. And then I was also going to comment, maybe you have to take your antennas up and down, maybe you have to look at something, that could serve a double-duty purpose. Flagpole or something like that, then you'd never know that it was even there. I'm kind of thinking about that myself, but the only thing I'm thinking about would be how to get the coax out of the house at that particular corner. So, the other thing I got to do, depending on how the weather is, I'm going to see about stopping at a hardware store and picking up some Unistrut and some other associated hardware so I can clamp together a Unistrut mount on the chimney or putting some other masks up. I'm currently renting, so even if I wasn't renting and it was my own property, I would probably be a little skeptical about, drilling into the chimney still. Just for the fact that, you might damage it later and, costly that way. So, I was talking with another friend, Leonard, and he gave me the idea as far as putting Unistrut around the chimney and then threaded rod to basically sandwich and clamp the two parts of the Unistrut together. And then from there, you've got a nice, good, sturdy mount for any other kind of mask or, any other kind of hardware. So, I'm glad I thought of that.
Yeah, that would work. Because I think I did something similar to that at my aunt's house, but what I was doing is I was putting up an over-the-air television antenna there for her. But I did something similar to that because she has a chimney off the back of her house. My only restriction is those that are put on me by my spouse. That she doesn't like to see all those wires out there, so she makes me. But what's good is that I get a lot of practice for POTA, so I have a lot of practice putting up and down antennas, and I've got all sorts of different things I play with. I've got 20-meter loops that I've built. I've got 40-meter loops that I've built. I got a great walnut tree in the backyard that I have a I have a pulley system in, so I pull up and down from the walnut tree, and it's pretty sturdy. It doesn't really blow around too much in the wind, and even if it does, usually when there's a storm, I pull it in anyway, so it doesn't really affect. And I've got, like I said, just a bunch of different antennas that I've kind of built, so depending on the day, whatever I feel like, I'll use whatever antenna I like. So I kind of like it because I'm always playing around. It is a hassle, but if you get up and put something up, it's like, oh, that's my antenna for the day. Back to you.
I agree with the good practice for POTA and, you know, MCOM and all sorts of things like that. And what we do for fun can come into play for being practically used in that. I've got a few myself, but I haven't been quite like that. I had an antenna where I used with my former GTH. It was one size fits all, basically. So that sounds kind of nice. So you're able to kind of customize a little bit, you know, depending on, you know, maybe what your intended activities for that day would be on the radio. Yeah, you know, like you say, if you want to, you know, do 20 meters, or if you want to maybe have something that's on me, or something fairly, you know, directional, you can do that. And then, you know, like I say, just be able to get up and have it, you know, customized to how you're intending on operating, you know. So, that's pretty good. I haven't done too much POTA myself here. I'm going to see about maybe summer's kind of drawing down, getting into August here now, but I'm going to see what sometime I add to some activations myself. I mean, in full contest, I've probably got, about 100 or so different POTA activations in the logbook, but I'd like to get more. And I think that's, it was just such an ingenious and great idea, I think, for somebody to come up with for the POTA. Because it's something, you know, maybe all of us have the availability to do. There's some others that are, you know, a little more restrictive, you know, like, for example, for us, you know, it would be harder for, you know, you and I to do IOTA, or I think they've got, you know, the summits on here. So that's a little bit more restrictive for, you know, hands like us, but the POTA, it's like, hey, you can go anywhere across the nation, and we all can do that. But the only one I think is a little bit more inclusive is, I haven't really heard too many of it. I've heard a couple of people doing it. But there's also the WLOTA, the Walmart lots of America. So I guess some guys do that a little bit. Kind of as a silly joke, I guess, a little bit. But I don't know if anyone really is serious about collecting those. Anyways, back to you, Ryan. W-A-R-I-T. And if you would, let me know if my audio signal is starting to waver. I'm probably getting away from the repeater, heading into downtown Detroit.
Yeah, you got quite a bit of bacon fry on there, but you're doing, I mean, you're 100% readable, but you do have quite a bit of bacon fry in there. Okay, can I just say, I had not heard of Walmart on the air until you just said it, and I think it is both hilarious and intriguing. I am going to follow up on that because, you know, a lot of times what I do with my parks on the air, because I like to do it during the winter too, and so what I'll do is I kind of have my truck set up so that I can just pull into a park. Sometimes I do the ham sticks on top of, ham sticks on the mount, but I've also got like a pocket mount for my truck that I can also put, if I even really wanted to go crazy with it, I could put up a telescopic whip and cover just about any van. But then again, I can cover any van with the ham sticks too. So I kind of like doing that because I can just stay in the truck, keep the heater on, and do it all year long. But let me tell you, Walmart on the air is, I love that concept. I'm going to have to try that. Back to you, W8RJD.
Yeah, I think all you do for the exchange is that you would just simply hand to Google like whatever the Walmart store number is, and that would be part of the exchange. Because if people are serious about collecting them, they can do so. But yeah, it's kind of a nice thing to do, yeah, if you're just wanting to sit out in the parking lot while the YL does some shopping, you got plenty of time to do so. that's kind of nice. Yeah, I kind of like the idea there, too, as far as it goes for just being able to fly into a park and, you know, ready to go. I did some things some years back similar when I was doing a vacation here in the upper part of the lower peninsula here for some of the various lighthouses on Lake Huron. I was doing some activations for some of those. And I didn't spend too much time because I, you know, wanted to, you know, do some more sightseeing, but I spent a little time sitting in the parking lot, you know, activating the particular lighthouse for Michigan and that. So that was kind of enjoyable. But yeah, that's probably one of the more silly ones I've heard for you know, the on-the-air situation. As far as I know, it's probably just about darn near impossible for us here in the U.S. to do anything with castles on the air. And I'd have to double check, but there's summits on the air. I think there's like only three sites or something like that here in Michigan that qualify for it. Anyways, go ahead there, Ryan. W8RIT.
W8RIT, W8RJD. Yeah, I'd like to do the lighthouses one. That would be fun. I didn't know. Do they do the lighthouses all year long, or do they just do those, like, during, like, special events?
Well, I think there's a lighthouse/lightship annual event on HF. I'm not certain actually who kind of sponsors the event, like the contest. But I think that is more or less for, I think it's like more like national and larger national and international lighthouses. I think it's something in one of the rules, like it has to be like on an international water. So all of the ones, well, actually all of the ones, but technically we are international. I think actually the lighthouses on Michigan's border do not count towards that. You know, same thing too, like for the IOTA. There's technically, there's supposed to be, I forgot how it's called, but there's a smaller program, not IOTA, from the Royal Society of Great Britain, but they're supposed to be, I think it's like a U.S. Islands program. I think it's like a four-digit number, very similar to like perks on here that you could exchange.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, we don't, you know, I would guess that our lighthouse, although, like I say, our lighthouses are international. Most, I mean, the ones on the Huron side and the Superior side for sure, but, I mean, I could see not wanting to count that, but, well, hey, I gotta get going. I just got to the QTH. I'm gonna grab some lunch, but it was good talking to you. W8RIT from W8RJT, I'm gonna say 73s, and I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, 73 Ryan, nice chatting with you, and we'll get a chance to do some more in the future, I hope. And that's probably pretty good timing, because I'm not too far away from my next stop, probably about 2 minutes out. So, anyways, 73, and enjoy the afternoon and your upcoming weekend here. Remember, it's Friday. 73, W8RIT.
Yep, catch you on down the line. Hope I get to speak to you again on that. 73W8RJD, clear.
You're connected to CMN Network.
K-E-A-R-U-H. I don't know who that was, but I couldn't make anything out.
How about now?
I can hear you now. I think that was Tom. How you doing, Tom?
Got a haircut. Got the two-meter EMR running. And now we're going to go to another store. So I'm on with Melissa for the day since I'm on vacation. Okay, teacher.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm on my way to Dearborn right now for a meeting. And I did one of those things today. I got a haircut this morning. And, yeah, so probably we'll lose you at some point. You guys going anywhere cool next?
Well, Friday, the one that's coming up at 28. PL weekend. So that's the big vacation. This was just a vacation for fair. And, you know, I've been taking it off for years. So. Tradition.
Not at all. Don't break tradition at all. What, you were saying maybe you have another vacation on the 28th? Are you going somewhere?
Yeah, we're going to. We're going up to the 18th, a little bit early on the 28th to get to Richard Rock so we can take the ride for the shipwreck.
Coming in super rough. I don't know if you have DMR with you. I got a DMR radio I'm monitoring, but I could barely hear by the end of your transmission.
Yeah, I got DMR. I'll meet you over there, QSO.
All right, KE8RUH.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
W-A-F-U. Aren't you supposed to stay after school for being a couple minutes late today? Yeah, I had a doctor's note, so I got out early.
Well, I would have gotten you a note from Epstein's mom. All right, well, okay. All that's left to do over here is rehang my blinds, and they'll be here in about a half hour to do that, and we should be done and just waiting for the rest of the paint to dry.
So let's assume they get it all done today. How long was it start to finish?
From the initial weeks in 18 and now 11 years in a couple months, you know. But from the first set of trips to where we are now, I would say about 11 years. But it took actually for the ceiling to collapse before they were in the entire building and Solberg Tower next door. They've actually got a contract company to hit all these places, and they hit the high priority ones first, like mine.
Oh, good grief, 11 years. I had no idea. No, there was an event, I think, where the roof fell in from that point, you know, because you could blame everything beyond that to just ignoring it. You know, it's like, oh, it's just a leak, we'll get to it. But when it actually came down till now.
It was a storm the first weekend or the first Friday in March, I believe the 5th, when that tornado came up through southwest Michigan and killed four people in the St. Joseph area. That storm is the storm that came through here on Friday night and buckled the roof and or my ceiling kind of a thing. So from March until now, a little more than 5 months.
Oh, for some reason I thought it was longer than that. I thought that that was last year. But, okay, but still 5 months with a hole in your ceiling, your life disrupted. Crazy, man. Well, it'll be good to have it done.
Well, any or all previous damage was around the inside line, you know, the edge that sets back from the door wall, from the actual wall. It's like maybe a 2-inch, 3-inch inset back. So that inside lip framing around the door wall, the wall, is what started to leak, and that's been going on for several years. But once the ceiling collapsed, and buckled and everything else, that's when it got to be a priority. So, yeah. Original framing around the door wall to now, that was like 11 years. But what started as a trip slowly just got worse and worse and worse. So, yeah. But we all got it together. We worked it all out and everything. And now it's the next project after this will be replacing my living room carpeting because I didn't want to replace it at the risk of the carpeting getting soaked. And we'll start talking about doing that date probably in September or so. It may not get done until next year, which is fine because I'm tired of moving furniture.
Now, is that something they're going to cover? I would assume they would, right? Because their water leak damaged your carpet, right?
Management policy is to replace the carpet every 10 years, and I've been here coming up on 13 this fall. And with these leaks that have been happening, we just postponed it. The carpeting's in good shape. My carpeting was only a year and a half old when I moved in here, and they didn't replace it. But as a matter of fact, I even told them why replace it if we still got to maybe take down this wall and do everything else and check for water leaks. So I kind of postponed it a little bit. But the final touch will be to get the carpeting throughout the entire room, not just in the living room and in the door wall and so on and so forth. So, yeah, just one more step after this happens today. And, yeah, I'll be in a pretty good place for the next 10 to 15 years or 300 miles or 500 miles, whichever comes first. My
All right, cool. Well, it'll be good to get it all done, that's for sure. So, anywho, looking forward to a weekend with no plans. This weekend is wide open.
Well, that's great. I saw that you were talking about Sunday breakfast, and that, you haven't done that in a long time either, so except for the Memphis trip. That's on Sundays, yeah. But, yeah, so that'll be good, and you'll be able to kick your feet up and not really have to play radio.
Yeah, I think I might putz with the new car a little bit. Maybe I'll investigate putting an antenna on it. And then there's breakfast with the boys on Saturday. We're planning breakfast on Sunday, a different one for the Pontiac area group. So, you know, those things, but those aren't big deals. Those are just go have breakfast for an hour or two in the morning. But maybe if I could get some work done on the car. I don't want to say I'm going to get an antenna installed, but I'm going to be thinking about it.
Yeah, copy that. Do you have an idea or a game plan for the antenna yet, or are you still doing some research?
You know, that moon roof is a bear, because it comes all the way back, quite a ways back. And then when it opens, it goes up and then back even further, and it stops just shy of the shark fin, the factory shark fin. Now, there's a little room between the back of that glass and the shark fin, if I want to keep it centered, and there's a little room behind it, but both are farther back than I'd like. The other option is offset, but, you know, unless I'm going to do two of them, make them symmetrical, but I don't want two antennas on my car. Hell, I have enough time running one. So, I don't know. I'm going to see if maybe I can do a single NMO right on the center line between where the sunroof stops and the shark fin begins. I want to see if it would work there. I can set one there, and I can walk around and look at it and see if it gives me any heebie-jeebies.
Okay, well, copy that. I've got a text message I got to take care of real quick here, and so I got to let you go. But have a good evening then, and we'll catch up with you later, and maybe talk somewhat over the weekend. Have a great weekend, W8RCY.
Okay, good timing. I'm about a half mile from the house. Talk to you later. W8FU.
W8BPD.
Connected to CMN Network.
K8PR, Oregon.
Hey, hey, what's up? How was your journey?
Oh, it was a pain in the butt to get here, but we're here relaxing, enjoying our family.
That's cool. Well, deal. And how long are you there? You're going to be there, I think, over a week, right?
Yeah, we'll be back late Wednesday night, so just about a week. Tomorrow we're probably going to go do a river float. We got a beautiful river running through here.
Well, there you go. You can float down a river like a fibrous turd.
What'd you call me?
Well, it's a healthy one.
That is true. Anyways, just looking out of this beautiful forest here, just thinking how many antennas I could put up here.
You figure out where your tower is going to go?
Yeah, pretty much. Alongside the garage. I don't know. I haven't talked to her about that in a while. We'll see.
Roger. So, Wally and Tim and Tom and myself all met up at Wally's repeater site, and he ended up going up with six cavities, and that did the trick. That, those four cavities, they were tuned up perfectly, but they just did not have enough isolation to allow the 600 kilohertz split. So switched to a six cavity design, and bingo bango.
Yeah, that's very cool. I mean, I was surprised when he showed them to when he handed them to me how small they were. I said, really? That's good for 2 meters? I mean, I think four is the bare minimum for UHF. You know, definitely prefer six, and for and you got 5 megs to work with there.
Yeah, the funny part was their documentation seemed to indicate. Now, maybe I should go over it again and look it over with a fine-tooth comb, but the documentation seemed to indicate that they were capable. I took one look at them. I said, those aren't going to work like that. You know, and then we found the documentation, and the documentation seemed to indicate that they would do the power level at the split required. And it just blew me, it threw me for a loop. I just like, I guess if the manufacturer's saying they will, I don't know what kind of magic and fairy dust they got in these things, but...
Yep. Well, they were being used on a wider split anyways in commercial section sector, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. The cavities were fully capable of working within the amateur band, but they were up in the commercial band and, you know, where the splits are on the orders of megs, you know, several megs. So, whole different kettle of fish.
Right, sounds good. So, you guys going to do a Sunday breakfast without me there?
Yeah, and I probably. I've got some cat food I got to deliver to Murph. So, that was my motivating factor, my excuse. So, I proposed 9 o'clock. That's as far as we got. We have a tentative... some tentative I'll be there's, and now I threw a time out. I've not heard any pushback on the time. All we got to figure out is who and where. So I'm sure we'll get it figured out.
Well, if I just posted back to Steve commenting about what we're commenting about. You know, bagels and lox, and I said, you know, scrambled eggs and lox, there you go. And he said, well, you should go to Pickles and Rye in West Bloomfield. They open at 9.
That might work. What's the name?
Pickles and Rye. It's a great deli. It's across the street from the Stage Deli, which personally I hate.
On Orchard Lake?
Yeah, south of Maple, west side, in a shopping. It's kind of recessed back from the road. You can miss it real easy. But it's just north of the Tesla dealer.
Let's see if they have a website. They have... Yes. Okay, we'll go take a look here.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite places. So, food's good, price is reasonable, good service. You know, they give you good sized portions without attitude, which is my problem with the Stage. Small portions with attitude.
Oh yeah, they got egg combination, breakfast features. The Supernova Scramble, lox, eggs, sautéed onions with PNR potatoes or sliced tomatoes, fried matzo scramble, man. They've got the griddle, omelets, breakfast. So, yeah, we could do that.
But just so you know, I'll be pissed if you go there without me.
You want me to reserve this one for when you're in town next time?
Whatever, I'm just kidding. So, whatever floats your boat.
No, I mean, we could do this one. We just wait and do this one next time. So, I'll write it in the Discord. I'll just say that Phil recommended this place. And but he's jelly that he can't be at this particular one, so maybe we should wait. All right.
Yeah, I kind of already did said something in there, so you can add to it. What was that?
Okay, let's see here. Okay. Yeah. Oh, Steve. He's going in crazy. Okay, yeah, I see. Scrambling out of Oregon, so I can't join. That's exactly what I want. Mercury Pickles, Ryan, Richard Lake. Okay. I will just paste the link to the menu.
Yeah, I just got it. So, all right, well, if you go there, enjoy. Just leave a spot for me in Abstentia. What do they call it? Abstentia?
Yeah, we'll have a little space. We'll just have you there in Abstentia, right? We can do it again. If we like it, we can do it again. So, all right, good deal. That'll work.
You'll like it. I guarantee it.
Kind of like the idea of lox and eggs.
Yeah, and Debbie says, and burned onions. If you look at my post, I said, yeah, it's got to be scrambled eggs, lox and onions. That is to die for.
Well, I don't want to die.
Hey, it's worth it. Sean. Say hi to Sean.
So they have this thing. It's called the Supernova Scramble. Nova lox, eggs, and sautéed onions with PNR, pickles and rye potatoes, or sliced tomatoes. So that's it right there, the Supernova Scramble.
Yep, can't beat it. So highly recommended. I'm pretty sure I've had it there. It's been a while. Usually I go there for lunch or dinner and don't have that, but I would definitely did get it for breakfast.
Well, I do, looking at their menu here, might go later. There's a lot of getting a good deli sandwich looks good too. Okay, well, we'll figure it out. How's the weather out there?
They have a great turkey wrap.
Yeah, they do. Everything there is good. So, and their cup of soup is like other people's bowls. So, so most of it's homemade, I think. So, yeah, the weather is cloudy today, but it was beautiful yesterday, and but it's getting close to 90, so it's up there.
Well, I am waiting on an overnight FedEx package from Eugene. I've got to sign some documents and send it right back overnight. So I'm going to have some documents that are going to be from you to me and then me back before you get home.
Yeah, sure, we'll get there faster than I will. I don't know. I'm not sure where Eugene is from here.
Oregon?
Yeah. So I think it's southwest.
Tracy, where's Eugene, Oregon?
Oh, she's not there. Okay. Yeah, it's somewhere around here.
I thought they said Eugene, but it's in Medford. Huh. So, I don't know where Eugene is. I thought, it's quite a ways up the road from Medford. So, why did they say Eugene?
Okay, where in the state is it? I think it's more in the southwest corner, isn't it?
What town are you in?
CMN Network.
We are south of Bend, which is almost right in the middle of the state.
Oh, right there by the Newberry National Volcanic Monument.
Yeah, as I thought, Eugene's about 3 hours southwest of here.
West.
Well, mostly west.
You
go due west from here. Okay. So, I don't know. It's not on the coast, is it?
Close. But
okay. So, south of Portland?
Yeah.
Yeah, along the coast.
Well, very good. Sounds beautiful. I got to get to the Pacific Northwest. That's a bucket list item. So, all right, I'm going to jump out. I'm going to see what Mama wants to do for dinner here. I got home, over there? About 3 hours behind, so you're looking at about 1, a little after 1. It's after 4 here. I got home a little bit ago. I'm going to discuss what we're going to do here for dinner.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, the Pacific Northwest is beautiful. It's issues with forest fires and stuff, but this morning we could smell it when I walked out, but not so much today. But it is gorgeous, certain parts. So yeah, you got to get out here if you haven't. So yeah, and we're just getting ready for lunch. Our daughter is going to make us another one of her fantastic meals. So all right, talk to you later. Yeah, it is 1 o'clock here, so 7:03 KPX.
All righty, Phil, stop in and say hi, and enjoy. That's the big thing, enjoy it out there. Sounds great. We'll catch you a little later. K8PR from W8FU.
KE8ZKS, testing a new All-Star node. Can anyone give me an audio report?
Currently connected to CMN Network.
That was a little rough. I didn't catch the first part of what you said. I caught your call, though. I can keep you on DMR if you got better coverage on that side. Of that. I'm going to go call for you on DMR and see if I can grab you there. NADDF.
KA8UHG. KA8UHG from NAWRO. Steve, are you out there? Negative copy. copy. NAWRO clear but listening.
KE8ZKS testing a new All-Star node. Can anyone give me an audio report, please?
NAWRO Richmond, you are loud and clear here.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Anytime. NAWRO clear.
W8RJD.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Station on the repeater, radio check, radio check. This is Kilo Echo X, I can't see November 7th Street.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
ADACX, she's asking.
KEA, TFM.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Check-ins will be for stations with announcements for the net. Over. Nothing heard there, so here's the standard one that I give. I'd like to ask everyone to consider supporting the Independent Repeater Association with a tax-deductible PayPal donation via the link at the top of the W8IRA.org homepage. If you prefer to send a check or a money order, send it to the post office box number on that page. Either way, your contribution will be acknowledged with an electronic QSL card containing your tax information. Do we have any emergency or priority traffic for the net? Nothing there, so the next set of check-ins is for the various net liaisons, beginning with Great Lakes Emergency Traffic Net. Who we have representing tonight, tomorrow, Shares Digital Group. I represent the Michigan Digital Traffic Net, and I bring one through to Georgia. Now we're looking for Genesee County, Genesee Township rep.
You know what's the way? I'm Scare Hope Saul Victor. Genesee County, Genesee rep. No traffic, I bring no traffic tonight there, Bob.
Thank you there, Ed. KE8OHV is logged with no traffic. Looking now for the Ohio single sideband rep.
K8RDN, KD8ZYI, you forgot the Red Cross. Anyway, I have no traffic, sir, and you sound tired tonight. KD8ZYI.
I am. I just got done helping load a moving van, moving truck, and they have lots of stuff. And I did forget that. I skipped right over that for some reason, but I'm going to go back to it. Thank you for the reminder, Pete. American Red Cross, do we have a rep? Southeast Michigan Traffic Net and the Michigan Traffic Net. Do we have Mark here tonight?
KBNSWR.
Roger, KDD. Good evening, Bob. And I have no traffic. I'll take your Georgia, though.
Very good. There was another station I'm trying to check in. Would you please come again, please?
KBNSWR.
KB8SWR. All right. Go ahead. Name and location, please.
The name is Jeff, and wondering why KE8VKS has MI1 linked to this net. Over.
We want to address that directly to KEDD. Is that the station you're concerned about?
The call, his call, according to the, according to our dashboard, is KE8ZKF. Says he's in Midland. Not sure why he's, has Central Michigan Emergency Network connected to this net.
I don't have an answer for you. I didn't know anybody was connected from up there. ZKN, you said, I believe. ZKN. I didn't even see it on my list. I don't know. Is he on the air now? Did you hear him?
His call is showing as KE8 Zulu King Sierra. This is Midland. He's on
46.55. Are you with the net? Come ahead. I have no idea. I don't know if that was him trying to catch him or not, but we have to move on. All right, are there any liaisons that did not call or late in arriving? All right, let's go on here. The next set of check-ins will be for stations with traffic and traffic only.
Thank you.
make the bad man go away, Jeff?
I think he realized his issue, and I think he's trying to disconnect. Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it all out, and I had it figured out as well. But I remember Fred saying something about somebody wanted to do some sort of net, and he was asking if we wanted to disconnect from it. And I wasn't sure. I was trying to find that thread before I assumed it was erroneous. So, anyhow.
No, that's on Wednesday night on VHF, and I guess the VHF wanted to connect to us anymore, so it doesn't sound like it's an issue, but, you know, do some investigating. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. Just get on there and say you made a mistake and, you know, disconnect and move on. It's no big deal, but when you don't answer.
Right. I've always maintained that's the biggest thing. You know, oops, my bad. That lets everybody know that you knew, you know, and the potential for learning is there, right? But when there's no answer and then you go away, we don't know, did somebody boot him? Did he learn his lesson or whatever? So, whatever. But let's hope he realized the error of his way and has become a better ham for it. How you been?
Busy, busy. I'm alive, though.
I heard you talking the other day something about you're back with the one company and you're waiting on, like, a truck so you can get radioactive again. Is that, was I hearing that correct?
Yeah, I've been switching a lot of trucks, so. But, yeah.
All right, well, it was good having you out there on the regular. So, look forward to
having that again. So, okay, I'll let you get to it.
I was just scrambling to try to figure out what the heck was going on myself. And then when I heard you jump in, so. After yours.
Okie dokie. I listen from time to time, but, you know, a lot going on. It's not just driving anymore. There's a lot in and out, so. One of these days, nice hearing you. Talk to you later. Okay, let us still here.
All right. Travel safely. Catch you later. W8FU.
You're connected to CMN Network.